From the Land Grant University in Urbana, Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the first day of May 2023. I'm Extension's Tug Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel, look at the weather with Mark Russo, hear from Ed Ossett at University of Minnesota Extension, and talk with the president of the U.S. Wheat Associates. And I'll also ask you to make a gift in support of the ag programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media. In fact, you can do that right now. I urge you to do that right now. Don't wait at 217-244-9455 or go online to willgive.org or willag.org and look for the donate button at the top of the page.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Kurt Kimmel from AgMarket.net now joins us to discuss the marketplace. By the way, if you've not dialed 217-244-9455 to make a gift to Illinois Public Media in support of the ag programming, and do tell them that it's in support of ag, or if you're online at willgive.org or willag.org and hit the donate button, put in the comments section in support of agriculture. Thank you, Kurt, for being with us today. Let's talk about the closeout of the month of April. There were some really ugly charts. What did you see in that month?
Yeah, corn virtually had outside down day. It made a higher high than last month, but closed below the previous month low there of March. And man, it was best about 80 some cents off the highs there. So, you know, technically that's negative. Beans, you know, they finished kind of the lower end. If you look at the monthly chart, the month of March needs to kind of hold. We're kind of recording a double bottom. But both corn and beans had some daily price reversals to the upside. The July beans had a outside up day there. The November beans kind of had a daily hook reversal up. And most of the corn contracts had reversals up. But coming in here today, these corn made some new lows. So just a lot of moving parts around the markets. Terribly oversold. RSI values close to 30. Momentum indicators are trying to turn up here, so it's going to be kind of important to hold last week's low. And of course, the old saying, you trade wheat, you sleep in the streets, and wheat's just been bombarded in through here. Lower highs, lower lows just continue to deteriorate in through here. Just no real bullish news around the world. This afternoon, crop conditions for wheat expected to kind of improve just a little bit here. We saw some 2-3 inch rains there in Oklahoma, even though Texas and Kansas were kind of hit and miss. So with that type of news and no big wheat business, that wheat is going to be in the defensive starting out. The day here, first day, May Day, May holiday around the world, even though we're here trading here in the U.S. today, Todd.
What are our expectations for the weekly crop progress and conditions report? You already gave us wheat. Do we have some numbers for the expected planting progress for corn and soybeans?
Yeah, as a nation, corn's expected to be about 24-26% versus 14% last week. Soybeans around this 18-20-21% versus 8% last week. Here locally, I think that's kind of behind. We're pretty well wrapped up in a few spots through here, central Illinois. You know, a lot of the beans are in, except for the seed beans. And corn's playing a little catch-up in through here. This is one seed rep, and they were looking maybe to have to find seed, or looking at about 7,000 acres of replant on some beans due to the adverse weather here we had first part of last week. Last week's progress, you know, kind of hit and miss. There's still a chunk out there, you know, kind of taking their time. Just the fact that the cold temperatures, there's just too many memories of cold, wet springs like this, and just making it a challenge to get the crop up and going with the high input costs in through here. Guys wanting to try to get it done the first go around in here. Weather-wise, a little chilly here for a few days, but it's eventually warming up. The 30-day forecast, you know, shows above normal temperatures and below normal precip. Even up in that northwest, up in the Dakotas, they're expected to warm up and dry out a little bit. So we're scooting along. I think part of the selling pressure in corn today is due to the fact that we're still maintaining a pace above the five-year average, even though the five-year average might be outdated because we keep improving technology, size of equipment, and speed moving across the field every year. But just being ahead of that five-year average is keeping the trend on track in here to at least have a sporting chance of a decent yield here this fall.
As we move along, just a reminder, 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL to make your gift. Do it right now. Don't wait. You mentioned that the RSIs or the stochastics were oversold. Is this a bounce waiting for new information and then a continuation lower, or do you have an idea of what things might look like if we remain normal for the month of May?
Well, the trends down and through here, if you look at your moving averages, we're below those. If you draw trend lines, we're below those. So until we can muster a move above some trend lines or see a couple closes above some moving averages, you got to kind of view this as a price correction here. It's oversold. And we know we've priced a lot of negative news in the marketplace. Longer term, it's really in the hands of the weatherman here. If we stay in a drier pattern or move into an extreme dry, warm pattern, then they've got reason to do some short covering and flip this thing around to the other side. So we need some type of fundamental event here or a bullish story in here to kind of reverse the trend here. It's been frustrating from a standpoint of past history this time of year. We usually see firm prices because producers are busy in the field. We've taken a lot of grain off the market, and they usually have to bid up. But that's not been the case because there's not been a whole lot of export news in through here, so there's been no reason to move it up. Also, seasonally in through here, we often see price moves higher into June, whereas we could be moving contra-seasonal. Maybe we're looking for a price low here in May and June and go from there.
It's your suggestion that old crop and producers who have old crop corn in the bin, that they wait in this case because they're done, or they may be done and they might have some time to actually move some grain.
Well, each area is a little bit different here. There's some areas pushing for some grain. This is a good time, you know, take advantage of some strong bids and actually re-own it with some courage calls in through here. The fear is if I sell it, if it goes higher, well, you can kind of defend $6 here on corn and have some ownership on it in case things get going in through here. But otherwise, you got to hang on until probably June or July in through here. I think a lot of the old corn's gone, been sold. And I believe basis is going to have to, you know, hold in there. But that doesn't necessarily we're going to go a whole bunch above $7. It seems like last time cash bids were up around $7 a bushel, that it was kind of a ceiling there. It was kind of hard to go much above that.
And finally, as we are in the midst of our spring fund drive, just a moment to thank you for all the service that you've made to WILL AM 580, to Illinois Public Media over the decades. You have really stepped up and been our Monday analyst for as long as I can remember now, and I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Tuz. It's great to be part of the program. You got a real nice program there. You've got a lot of fine people contributing to the program, a lot of different opinions, and it's just well worth what you're doing there. And hopefully the producers, landowners, and farm managers and whatever will see some value in it, because you do a fantastic job of coordinate that to put that news out there for everybody to follow.
Thank you much, Kurt. That's Kurt Kimmel. He is with AgMarket.net. If you might take a moment now to make a donation, a gift to Illinois Public Media, I certainly would appreciate it. You can do that at 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL, or go online to willgive.org or willag.org. And hit the donation button at the top of the page. I like the $160 level. Ed Usett now joins us from University of Minnesota Extension. Hi, Ed. Thank you for being with us. I don't know whether I want to call it a bloodletting or not, but it's been a really rough month in April for the corn, soybean, and again, the wheat market, I suppose. How did you see that month and the way it closed?
Not a good one. Bad month. One of the worst months we've suffered in some time. And you sort of made the wheat comment on the side. It's getting beat up worse than anything. I think this is a simple issue of we've had strong prices for a couple of years, but if we want to keep those prices strong, if we want to have a firm market, something to trade on the upside, we need fresh news. And you know what? We just don't have any fresh news out there. We've got a war in Ukraine that is grinding on, and grinding, I think, is the right word. We're not getting a sense of one side taking control of this thing. But there's nothing new there. We've traded a drought in Argentina, terrible drought, terrible crop down there. But that's not fresh news. We've known that for some time now. And besides, just to the north of Argentina, there's a little country called Brazil that produced enough to overwhelm whatever shortfall was out of Argentina. So we're not getting good news on the demand side. Got China canceling orders. Just hard to find the good news out there. I will say that the basis, at least in my neck of the woods, southwestern Minnesota, southern Minnesota, northern Iowa, eastern South Dakota, the basis is still very strong. We've got a strong inverse from old crop to new crop in the futures market. Those are not signs of a weak market. Tells me that domestic users, if not exporters, at least domestic users, are still fighting to secure supplies to get them through the crop year. That said, it doesn't have a real perky feel to it, does it?
No, it does not. Are you ready to give up on it?
No. It's too daggone early. It's May 1st. May 1st. We've hardly dropped planters here in Minnesota. We've had a lot of moisture. I'm not saying this to get everyone wound up on late planting. It's early. It's May 1. We're going to get a lot done in the next few weeks if the rain backs off a bit, and I think the forecast looks that way. So it's early. I'm not ready to throw in the towel, but it was a very disappointing moment.
What's the difference for old and new crop as we make that final transition in that? And you have a rule that says don't carry old crop into July. Farmers probably will be a little worried about that at this point, I think. But what is the difference about timing and what the new crop pricing looks like? And are you more worried about it than you are old crop?
Frankly, I'm more worried about new crop than old crop. I mean, it's new crop that's hurt us the most. You know, corn, as bad a week as it felt like, I mean, the prices really aren't, but the old crop, the nearby prices, at least in my neck of the woods here, again, I might be different in southern Illinois. They're off from a couple months ago, but they're not off sharply. I mean, they're off 20, 30 cents a bushel from a high level. So nearby prices are still okay. They're not higher, but they're good. It's the new crop that's been such a shattering disappointment. When you've got December corn that, in February, we had the opportunity to sell cash, new crop at harvest, $5.50. Well, we're $4.85 now. We're off 60, 70 cents a bushel. Soybeans. You had a shot at $13 plus a few months ago. Now we're talking about $12 new crop. New crop has taken a beating, and that's where, I'm telling myself it's early, don't give up, but we need a catalyst to get something going.
Well, you didn't make me feel better, I have to admit. I don't feel better after that.
yeah, I'm sorry about that. I should work on my tone or something, but it was a bad month, and I'd like to tell you that there's this bit of news out there that's going to turn things around quickly, but I don't have that right now.
Hey, Ed, thank you. We'll talk with you again in another month.
Okay, sir. You take care.
I will indeed. You too. That's Ed Ossett. He's with University of Minnesota Extension Services, an agricultural economist there. We talk to Ed once a month, and he's one of the reasons, I think, along with the rest of the agricultural economists here at the University of Illinois, at Iowa State, at Missouri, at North Dakota, Kansas State, that make this program unique. If you think that's the case, 217-244-9455. It's a good way to show your appreciation with a gift or at willgive.org. Two weeks ago today, I was in Washington, D.C. with the NAFB and managed to catch up with the president of the U.S. Wheat Associates to discuss some of the issues surrounding that crop. I asked Vince Peterson what things they were working on.
Well, we got a couple. And let me just, the very most basic one, I would say, was investment in technology. You know, wheat was kind of behind the eight ball compared to corn and soybeans through all the biotechnology years from the late 90s up through. We didn't have any transgenic wheats. We stayed out of that game, and we really lost a lot of position profitability in terms of yield and those kind of things to corn and soybeans. And that's why wheat got hit so hard. So going forward, we really need that. We need the investment back into wheat. There is one in transgenic drought technology that's coming back, but whether it's CRISPR technology, gene editing, hybridization, something needs to get back into the wheat to make it more profitable, to fit better into those rotations.
Does that require land grant investment from the government?
Well, I think yes, it does. I think the land grants are critical to wheat, but wheat more than the other crops. I think wheat is critical in the land grant universe. We've got great plant breeders all around. They corroborate well together with one another, but we don't quite have as much commercial investment in wheat. We do, but not to the same degree there is in corn and soybeans and others.
What other issues do we have?
I would say trade and competitiveness issues. We've had a war in Ukraine going on for more than a year that's entirely disrupted normal pricing structures, normal supply chains to the world, and it impacts us here in the United States. But that is a critical element for us.
How does the U.S. wheat market get impacted?
Well, we're about number four in the global exports, about 22 million tons a year. Russia's the largest at around 40. Ukraine is probably number five or number six, something like that. So we have a market share that's globally around 10 or 12%. That doesn't sound like a lot, but that's half of the U.S. wheat crop. Gets exported. So in terms of its impact on price of wheat, if we don't export that stuff, if it sits around here and it gets delivered on the Chicago futures and just sits there in Chicago, that's going to depress our prices. So moving that surplus production out is very important for us. So whether that's to Mexico, Japan, Korea, wherever that 22 million tons every year is going to go is really critical to us. So that's our role in the game, is to keep that wheat moving out of the country.
Is that mostly exported out of the PNW and then out of Toledo and the Seaway?
Yeah, no, about half of the wheat right now is exported out of the PNW, out of the Portland Columbia River District. The others get split. The Gulf, Texas Gulf, Louisiana Gulf. Louisiana Gulf for soft red winter wheat. Texas Gulf for hard red winter wheat. Spring wheat goes down the Mississippi River to the Gulf. And then you have a smaller amount moving through Toledo, Chicago, out through the St. Lawrence Seaway.
Vince Peterson is the president of the U.S. Wheat Associates. We spoke with him 2 weeks ago on Monday in Washington, D.C. at the NAFB's Washington Watch event. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Today, we'll call it the funding world because we're in the midst of our spring fund drive. And if this program makes a difference to you, we hope that you have already given, but that if not, you will pick up the phone and dial this number, 217-244-9455. That's 217-BIG-WILL. Or go online to willgive.org or willag.org and hit the donate button at the top of the page. Either one of those will work. And make a donation in support of the ag programming that comes to you each and every business day right here from Illinois Public Media. We try very, very hard to bring you the very best information about the markets and the weather, and we hope it makes a difference to you along with the news and information that we provide, not only from this campus, but from across the planet. If it does, call right now, 217-244-9455. Mark Russo now joins us to take a look at the weather forecast across the Midwest and other growing regions around the planet. Hi, Mark. Thank you very much for being with us. We are now in the month of May. Farmers will not be content to wait. What does the planting situation look like across the Midwest?
Well, Todd, things look pretty good here over the next couple of weeks. This upcoming pattern will feature below normal rainfall across a majority of the summer crop growing areas. That includes, you know, much of the Midwest, even on to the Delta and Northern Plains. So that translates to mostly open fieldwork operations. And then from a temperature standpoint, the recent cool pattern, it's still going to persist for a few more days, but by the end of this week, it does look like temperatures will shift warmer. And then for next week, actually increasing to warmer than normal levels. So warmer pattern is beneficial as it will accelerate germination, emergence, and development of newly planted crops.
If you look across the Midwest, particularly I'm thinking about Minnesota and North Dakota, but maybe South Dakota too, do they still have snow on the ground in places? And is this a concern? And what kind of flooding conditions?
No snow on the ground across those areas. In fact, the one area that still has some snow, and actually just new snow due to a winter storm over the weekend, is like the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and northern Wisconsin. But in that Red River Valley of the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota, the snow has melted. In fact, some of the overland flooding has now ended, and now it's just a matter of the river flooding improving, which the crests have already really begun, have taken place across much of that area. So it's an improving situation, and likely by the middle of the month, we're able to start planting across the upper Midwest.
Last week in the southern plains, the hard red winter wheat crop got its first really good drink for months. Is there more rain to come?
Yeah, Todd, it does look like there will be some additional opportunities for rain coming up. Now, no additional events such as the magnitude of last week's rains are anticipated. But then again, it doesn't look like it's going back into a totally dry pattern, but some lighter and more scattered rains at the next opportunity really coming up later this week and over the upcoming weekend.
And finally, turn your attention to South America. What are conditions like for the safrinha or second crop corn?
Yeah, conditions are really good across really all of the Brazil safrinha corn belt, from Mato Grosso in the north all the way down to Paraná in the south. And now they're transitioning drier just due to the end of the rainy season. But due to above normal rainfall over the past couple of months across the belt, their soil moisture is in really good shape now.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. Please do make that call right now with your gift of support at 217-244-9455, or go online to willag.org and hit the donate button at the top of the page, or willgive.org. Thank you so much for listening to the Closing Market Report.